the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 1085. 1085. Hence vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Together from the most holy word of God, the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 32. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. The man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shell of a great rock in a weary land, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more be called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be for dens for ever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance for ever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, oh, do grant unto us each that right spirit, we might rightly approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, they might each have that measure of that right sense of who thou art and what we are. All that might be found in that place, humbled under the mighty hand of God, Yes, confessing our sins. For none can say they've been without sin. And thou hast spared us, spared our unworthy lives to gather once again in thy courts. Thou hast not cut us off or dealt with us as our sins deserve. And blessed be God, we're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open. Ah, the day of grace has not ended. May we each be found then as the beggar Paul at mercy's door. Lies such a wretch as I. Oh, convince us each of our sin. Show us our desperate need. And lead us unto a precious Christ. Oh, may the blessed Spirit yet take up that abode in each one's heart. To truly change the heart and renew the will. And turn the feet to Zion's hill. Lord, by the blessed Spirit, taking this one and that one in hand, we might each have our ears bore to the doorpost, to come up to thy courts, to hear what the Lord might speak, with a living desire. By one quickened by the Spirit, a living desire. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ, or else I die. Teach us each then to number our days, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And as we've had in that hymn just now, eternity, it is before us each. It is reality, is it not? We see it. We have it manifest to us, do we not? There is that time to be born and a time to die. Then after death, the judgment. Eternity with all its unnumbered years. Oh, it is a tremendous thought, is it not? A tremendous sound. But one convinced of sin, oh, certain it is then. May it please thee. May come in like the apostle of old, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith in Christ. We might be shut in with Christ. Washed in his precious blood, clothed upon with that robe of his righteousness, we might be found in that day as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. It is only thy almighty grace that can prevent that. That we shall be found a cast away at last. It is thy grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is that gift of God. Oh, if it could please thee, bestow that gift upon us each, young or older. Oh, Lord, do then take us each in hand. And prepare us for that day. We have those reminders, do we not? We've seen it in the nation. We've seen it in our own circles, have we not? Some of us, if it has been made manifest, that day must come. So do be pleased to prepare us each for that day. Maybe they know the language of one. Prepare me, gracious God. To stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And so we plead then, oh yes, we might truly be brought each to consider our latter end. Naturally, by our old nature, we do not want to. We put it far from us. And certainly in our younger years, we may have had a fleeting thought upon it. But certainly as we've been spared and we've got older, we realise that that body weakens. The faculties are not as they were. And we realise that we have no continuing city here. And so we trust to seek that which is to come. But, O Lord, even in the young, there might be that wrought in their hearts to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and prove that all those things which are necessary for time, yes, we have paths which we walk, those appointed paths with all the cares and needs there. But all these other things shall be added unto you. So may it please thee, leave none untouched. May there be an appointed time with each one that rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. That new birth. Yes, ye must be born again, didst thou not declare? Ye must be born again. So we plead then, do bring us each to that whereby we can testify. What a mercy if we can. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, anew hath he quickened who were dead. Yes, they were dead in trespasses and sins. Once served the prince of the power of the air. But now there's that wrought in their heart, what a mercy. That which restrains, subdues the old man of sin. But perhaps they cannot come any further than that. But what a mercy. You hath he quickened. They might yet be brought to the birth. Brought to, yes, into that whereby there is that seen, known and felt. Yes, perhaps are those groanings before the Lord. Groanings. Can't always put things into words. But all might be even this, wrought in their hearts. Then they cried unto the Lord. In their trouble, and that trouble being their sins, their iniquities. And as this poor one stands up in the Lord's name, we might likewise, unless awfully deceived, we trust it has been so. But all to be known and it to be known and felt in its measure. Whereby that poor sinner has to say even this, of sinners, of whom I am chief. So we plead to remember each one. We thank thee that thou hast brought us each in safety into thy courts this day. And those that are gathered here, both young, in the midst of life and older. May we each yet... What a mercy it is, sir. Certainly be surname but the name of Israel. Yes. Surname of the name of Israel. Those inhabitants of Zion that truly know what it is to cry, and they shall have to cry all the days of their life as regards things for time and for eternity, providence and grace. And so we plead, do then, remember the young, and we See the goodly number of young amongst us, and from the little ones to those growing up and going on into life. Oh, do work in their hearts whilst young in years, we plead. Oh, may they know even as Samuel did. Brought to know the voice of the Lord God Almighty, and to call upon thee, to enable them to cast their cares upon thee, and certainly and perhaps in the past year they've seen those things overturned, things upset, things, yes, and certainly in their education, those in education, what changes in the past year and this year, and perhaps those thoughts before ever this came to pass, those 2 years ago or nearly. Never thought these things would come to pass in this nation and the nations of the earth. We're each walking in paths which we've not been heretofore. Or may each one, whether younger, and we think especially upon the young at the moment, may they prove that these things are amongst those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Remember parents in the midst of all this, and certainly changes, difficulties, and them to cast their cares upon thee as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And certainly as we realise the day in which we live, evil is called good and good is called evil. Grant them that wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Remember each in the midst of life with all its cares and concerns and many dark places, troubling circumstances, sorrows of the way. Lord, each one, yes. And certainly, as we pleaded just now, we've each walked and still walk in paths which we've not been heretofore. And some as we've been brought even to know a little of the language of Jacob of old. All these things are against me. And sometimes it feels so. Ah, yes, all these things are against me. And we can look on, yes, even as the psalmist looked upon the wicked and he saw they prospered in their way. They seemed to have no troubles and things seemed to be onwards and upwards, if we can put it in that way. But, O Lord, it comes back to this, does it not? It is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom, and thorns also and thistles. But then they cried unto the Lord. And has it not been so in the past year and this year? More so than ever. What a mercy if it has been so. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And may we have been able to testify like the psalmist there. Whoso is wise will observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, have we not seen then the loving kindness of the Lord in the midst of troubles? Have we not seen, yes, against the darkest clouds, the brightness of the bow of that covenant, ordered in all things and sure? Ah, what a mercy indeed. And is it not, and yes, some of us have to prove it so, in those dark and tried places, and yes, in afflictions and difficulties, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. So we would plead for those in the midst of life with all the sorrows of the way. Like the hymn writer put it, amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray. There we have to run, do we not, to that hiding place. We have to run to that one, and unto that one upon whom help is laid. Oh, what a mercy, and when we prove it so. Do remember those in the even time of life. They feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, may they know those everlasting arms underneath them. The God of Jeshurun, who rideth on the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency upon the skies. Ah, those everlasting arms of one that has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ah, yes, unto the end of the world. And remember those in their afflictions. We think of one another, think of those here. Ah, the deep and dark pathway of affliction. And let us cause this or that to come. Or do sanctify it all, sweeten the pain, make the bed for them, draw near and comfort them. May they prove the word, though I promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Remember loved ones that look on, those that care for the sick. Grant them that sustaining grace. May they prove that bounty of that grace, that which is more than enough. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, that abundant grace of God, that fullness that resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need, may they prove it so. Bless all means used for those in sickness for their good. Bless all the means. We thank thee for the many means there are. Some as we've had to prove, have we not, for our little lives. Those times and seasons when, yes, we've had to bless thee and thank thee for the means, and the provision of those experts in their field. For the experts in those varied faculties and stages or types of medicine. Oh, thou dost give men wisdom. Blessed be God, thou dost. And we thank thee for the means. And so do bless any means used. And but do comfort. Oh, we thank thee for that word. I will not leave you comfortless. Thou didst speak it. Ah, and thou knowest our frame, our feeble frame that is ready to sink in those times and seasons. Thou knowest our frame and rememberest that we are but dust. And truly there is that one that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. And as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And do you remember any that walking in singular paths? Often think of those, they feel, yes, no one seems to understand my case. Feel to be in a lonely place. Dear old Job, we thank thee for that account of Job. Yes. He is one chosen in eternity past. Ah, yes, loved of his God. But there was that which thou didst permit Satan to touch him in his circumstances, in his family, in his, and even his body. And his three friends, they were poor comforters, were they not? But oh, in the midst of it all, he could say, and was it not by grace? Ah, what a mercy if we each prove in the midst of those very tried, perhaps we feel no one else understands. And ah, yes, our faith is damped, but ah, blessed be God, it cannot die. He knoweth. Oh, in the midst of all that darkness there, he could say, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. his latter end was better than his beginning. So to remember that those that are walking such a path, remember each one. And in that regard, as with those paths of each one gathered before us, if we've come short in our asking, make up as regards their needs in giving. Oh, what a mercy thou canst overcome the poverty of this poor one as we stand audibly to plead before thee. We may not bear this one or that one's individual burden, may not get mentioned again and again. But oh, what a mercy, thou art able to make up in giving where we fail in our asking. Lord, remember us also as churches and people. Zion, what desolations we have seen. Desolations and breaches. Have not some of us had to weep many a time between the porch and the altar? Oh, we plead, yet revive us again. Restore, yes, that which needs restoring. Repair the breaches. Bring back the wanderer. Thou canst change the heart of man. Oh, what a mercy. We know it's not within man. He has no power over his own heart. But thou canst change the heart of man and bring back in that way of true repentance and godly sorrow. We plead that it might be so. So we plead for Zion. Do yet build up, if it could please, in this dark and evil day. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Like Habakkuk, we plead in that same manner. We feel it in our own hearts personally. May we each also feel it personally, as well as in the churches, collectively. Revive thy work. In the midst of our years, in the midst of our years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, do then in wrath, remember mercy. Thy hand is stretched out still. We thank thee for it. But oh, Zion is minished and brought low, and we think of our own people back at home. Ah, yet that promise stands true in our day, does it not? As regards what we read in Psalm 132. For it is thy dwelling place, thou art king there. And thou hast said in that psalm, thou would abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. Oh, we plead that promise this day. Thou knowest where thy poor are. Thou knowest where the twos and the three are that gather in thy name. Do satisfy them with thy goodness and send them not empty away. May it please you to put the new song in the mouth, that song of praise unto thee. And to remember also this guilty, guilty land and nation. Thy hand has gone forth against us in that way of judgment, and we see it in the nations of the earth, but we can't look any further than this nation. We have sinned against light and knowledge. We have turned thee the back and not the face. Oh, how solemn indeed. Ah, yes, what laws have been enacted which are contrary to thy word, contrary to thy laws. In fact, they're an abomination, are they not, in thy sight? Oh, we plead. Do yet turn us once again, and we shall be turned. But oh, as we thank thee for that measure of restraint. Yes, thou is withholding that total destruction. Hast thou not? In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And as there are a relaxing of those restrictions in due time. Yes, we would thank thee for it, and we thank thee that we can still gather in thy courts and have been enabled so to do. But oh, we do not hear or read a march of that changing the heart of man goes on in his wickedness. And we see much drunken revelry, or it makes us tremble. It makes us tremble. Lord, we plead, do yet awaken many sinners round in this nation. Take them in hand, or they might consider yet their latter end, and prove that eternity is a tremendous sound. Oh, we plead, may there yet be through these things, that scene, a change, but oh, it seems men have hardened their hearts and sin in a greater way than they did before. Oh, have mercy upon us. But oh, Lord, may it please thee, there might be a searching of our own hearts. Leave us not to roll as a sweet morsel under our tongue some sin. And hast thou not searched Jerusalem with candles? Search our hearts also. Make us right and keep us right. And we plead this, for we've been brought to realize what our heart is by nature. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And so we plead that might be yet wrought that wrought in the heart of those that have the rule over us, to seek counsel of thee. Ah, to seek counsel of thee, but oh, what proud spirits we hear. We'll beat this arrogancy. We'll beat this virus. We'll overcome it yet. Oh, how solemn indeed. Ah, may they yet be brought to call upon thee in their day of trouble. But oh, as we journeyed here this morning, and as we've seen it in the past days, that bountiful rain upon the earth. We'd had that dry season and we pleaded for that rain, and thou hast sent it, and we see the benefit of it. We thank thee for it. And O Lord, we thank thee for that promise that where, whilst the earth remaineth, so will seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, and cold and heat. Thou didst in the past year provide food for both man and beast. And we've each received of thy hand those bounties. May we not let these mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. The world looks upon it, perhaps in that way they have a right to it, or fortune, luck and chance. But O Lord, we bless the hand that has given. And we thank thee. Ah, we thank thee as we've seen, even as we journeyed this day, in the past days, around our own part of the country, what the goodly rains thou hast been pleased to send upon the earth have done. And so we plead that there might yet be, once again, if it could please thee, amidst all our wickedness, amidst all the nations turning us, the turning aside in the nation, there might yet be a harvest granted. And so we would then plead that it might be so. But we would thank thee for thy mercies and favours to warrant us. We've lacked nothing. And there truly are they not new every morning. They're new every morning. And so as thou hast favoured us to gather in thy courts, and we would plead for those who are unable to be found here, go to them where they are. Bless them indeed. Ah, what a mercy thou art not confined to place or means or mode. Oh, do draw near unto them like thou didst unto those two upon the Emmaus road. And what a sermon that must have been to them. Their hearts burn within them. And at the end of that journey, when thou didst, was pleased to turn in with them at their request, when they break bread and bless it, their eyes were opened. Oh, they saw a risen Saviour. Ah, their Saviour. May it please you that might be so, whether here or in their own homes. So do be pleased to make one with us. Do us each good and break the bread of life unto us. We plead then for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 110. The Lord on high proclaims his Godhead from his throne. Mercy and justice are the names by which I will be known. Hymn 110.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 32. Read the second verse. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Ah, the prophet Isaiah, did he not live in that day when, yes, he was as that servant of the Lord, and to prophesy against the wickedness seen in the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem, and those judgments, yes, as he proclaimed them as the Almighty God calls him to speak, those judgments which would come upon the land. Yes, and we read even as regards Jeremiah and those various prophets, so it was. Days of iniquity and days of judgment. I know we've often pleaded that, as we've seen that in this nation and nations of the earth, in this past year and this year, there might be that wrought in the heart of many, but it seems at times appears to be quite opposite. Man has hardened his heart, shut his ears. And was it not so in the, certainly as Jeremiah found it so? Yes, and when he spake out against it and proclaimed that which the Lord would bring upon the land, oh, how they smote him and eventually cast him, did they not, into that dungeon where he sank in the mire. But what a mercy if, yes, there's been that wrought in the heart of one or another, that wrought in the heart by the Spirit. We plead it might yet be as we look around the hills of Zion, yes, ministered and brought low. There might be those yet wrought upon that shall know what it is to have need of a hiding place, and that hiding place in this man. And who is this man? Is it not Christ? But also in the churches, yes, we don't excuse ourselves from the world. Often been brought over recent times to think upon even the prophet Isaiah. He didn't excuse himself. He likewise was brought to this, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. He had need. He had need, did he not? Yes, he had as much need of this man. Yes, in that way of prophecy spake of him. You turn to that 53rd chapter in Isaiah. That 53rd chapter, it speaks of this one, this hiding place. But oh, in that 6th chapter in Isaiah, do we not read, when Isaiah felt it so, I am a man of unclean lips. And it wasn't just words that came from his lips, he felt it so. I am undone, he said. Woe is me, for I am undone. Oh, what a mercy then if has been that wrought in your heart and mine, where we've seen in measure that one thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. When there's that sight of such a one, there'll be that trembling. There'll be that trembling under the word. And so as Isaiah felt it, he had need of that salvation. He had need of that that purging. And was it not so? Then flew one of the seraphims having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And as we had it, did we not, in that first hymn? That first hymn. Oh, do you know a little of the language of that first hymn? Yes. There's been that wrought in your heart. It reads over the top of that hymn. Does it not commune with your own heart? In our unregeneracy, there's no communing in that way. Yes, there's no communing in that way. But under that work of grace, what a mercy we know a little of that then. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. Yes, you come up to the house of God. Once you came up and you didn't mind if the world came with you and your thoughts and the intents of the heart for the coming days. You didn't mind if they came with you. Made the time pass. They made the time pass. Ah, and it suited your old nature. Be no lift the language of the hymn now. What a mercy indeed. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. No more allure, nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone. Here let me search my inmost mind and try its real state to find. The secret springs of thought explore and call my words and actions o'er. And when there's that calling of your words and your actions o'er, and the Spirit, ransacks every corner, every nook and cranny of your heart, you find there much that brings you to this. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am undone. No more saying, well, I'm not as bad as this one, not as bad as that one. I haven't committed this, I haven't committed that. Yes, I may have done this, I may have done that. And this thought may have arisen, and that thought may have arisen. I had this awful desire and that awful desire, but I've never put it into practice. But their very thought of foolishness is sin. And then that third verse. Our dear friend said that's what brought him to that hymn in the early part of the morning, or whenever it came to his mind. But it seemed to strike a chord in her own heart. What a mercy we brought there. Eternity, tremendous sound. Some of us, we look back to those years when we heard the word eternity, and it wasn't a tremendous sound. Something we soon forgot about. Went once again on our way. Perhaps not in that way of outward wickedness, but still serving the prince of the power of the air. Still serving the prince of the power of the air. And who is that? Satan. Satan's blind slave, sporting with death, so we were. You may say, well, I was in the house of God. Yes, I can look back to that time, and I was so. But sporting with death. Sporting with death. As I said just now, solemn it was. Looking at the clock and thinking, well, I'll muse over this and I'll muse over that. Made our thoughts go hither and thither to those things which were no more than of the earth, earthy. Solemn indeed, but that's what we are by nature. Of the earth, earthy. We come forth from the womb, do we not, speaking lies? There's no good to be found in us. But under grace. Under grace, the work of the Spirit, when the Spirit takes up that abode in your heart and mind, in that unworthy dwelling. What a mercy when the Spirit does, yes, in the Marys and the Manassas, takes up that abode in such an unworthy dwelling. Like it was with the apostle of old, of sinners of whom I am chief. But he knew what the power of the Spirit was. Do we know the working and that power of the Spirit in our hearts? Yes, we can have a religion which is just learned. We can learn much and take in much. We know we try to bring up, as we're enabled to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and the labours of those that seek to do it in the Sabbath schools. We plead the blessing of Almighty God upon it and the power of the Spirit to attend it. But it must be by the power of the Spirit. Coming back to that as regards, we read in Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, then eternity is no more just a word to be passed over. It's tremendous. If you realize you have a never dying soul, brought to see you have a need, and a tremendous need. A tremendous need. Ah. Condemned under the law. Condemned under the law. If no righteousness to plead of your own. Yes, the apostle, he had much he could plead in his old, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Come not knowing me, for I'm holier than thou. Ah, like that one that said, yes, even in that way, I thank God that I'm not like this one and not like that one. But on the grace, the chiefest, the worst, the darkest, the blackest, have need of a hiding place. Eternity, tremendous sound, to guilty souls, a dreadful wound. Do you know something of that then, poor one, poor trembling sinner? A mercy indeed, you hath he quickened. Oh, do you come up to the courts of the Lord? You desire to hear the voice of one, this man. And who is this man? Ah, yes, the Son of God from all eternity, whoever was with the Father. But oh, as we read in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, that took not on him in that condescension, and what a condescension it was, but blessed be God, it was so. For no one else could save wretched, ruined man. Redeem them from the hand of the enemy. Save them from the wrath to come. But ah, this one. Incarnate God. One verily God, verily man, that took upon himself their body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Made under the law. Ah, eternity, tremendous sound. Groaning under that burden. To guilty souls a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and him be mine. That is this man. This Christ. The Christ of God. The Redeemer. How sweet the accents. How divine. So can you come in, poor sinner, with that verse, the next one, be this my great, my only care, my chief pursuit, my ardent prayer, an interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon sealed, and peace with God. A man shall be as an hiding place. From the wind and a covert from the tempest. There's no greater storm or trouble than soul trouble. Yes, each one of us have those troubles and cares and concerns in time in our pathway here below. But all we look upon this just for a moment. Soul trouble. A sinner that's been brought to feel his need. That has lived to feel his need. Yes, what a mercy. You'll have need of this hiding place. This one, a man. And oh, when we think of Noah in Noah's day. We read of him, do we not? He was a preacher of righteousness. But how few heard him. It seems, yes, we know that he and his family, they were all gathered into the ark and they were shut in. The Lord God Almighty shut them in. For all those years, he preached, did he not? Was building the ark under the instructions of Almighty God. It seemed to fall upon deaf ears. But how solemn must have been the day. Yes, Almighty God shut Noah and his family into the ark. He didn't shut himself in. He was commanded to go in with them. To go in. The Lord God Almighty shut him in. But how solemn must have been the day for those when the depths were broken up and the heavens opened. How solemn must have been the day. Ah, but that day came. He warned them of it. He warned them of it. Ah, and do we not read, if I can find that portion? Ah, yes. No, it's gone from me at the moment. But oh, there's a portion just come to my mind in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And likewise, each one of us have been brought up under the sound of the gospel. How many sermons have we heard? Many. Many hundreds. Yea, perhaps even thousands. Some of us, we have to say there are many sermons we heard. And the word had no effect upon us like it did in the days of Noah. But oh, we read, do we not, at the beginning of the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Well, those outside of the ark, there was no escaping. But all that chapter 2 in Paul's epistle of the Hebrews has been made a precious chapter unto this poor one. What a mercy if it has been this brought in your heart in mine. But we see Jesus, but like it was with those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, longing. Longing for that view by faith of this one. Ah, the one that was the just, very just, spotless, pure, undefiled. The just that suffered for the unjust, dying that we might live. We see Jesus. Well, who was this one Jesus? Yes, this man. That which the ark typified, safety in Christ. No safety anywhere else like those on the outside of that ark. They all perished. Ah, how solemn must have been those cries, open unto us. And like it was with those foolish virgins, when they once again came back to that place, the door was shut. Those wise, yes, prepared of God. If we look at it in that spiritual way, prepared the grace of God in their hearts, that which was effectual. effectual to the saving of their souls, the bridegroom appeared and ushered them in, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Reminds me of that hymn, another solemn hymn. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Ah, the grace of God. Nothing can prevent but the grace of God. The grace of God. That unmerited favour of Almighty God to poor sinners, the black, the very black, the Marys and the Manassas. Ah, what a mercy if you can say, yes, and is that your longing? You might be able to say, for me. Religion is personal. It's your never-dying soul, mine. Ah, personal indeed, yes. Your never-dying soul, my never-dying soul. Your eternity and my eternity. But all that view of this man, and a man shall be as an hiding place. From the wind, and a covert from the tempest. You may say, well, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm a wretched sinner, and I've been brought to realize of a truth, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. There is need of a sacrifice. Dear Abraham of old, oh, what a mercy indeed it was to him many years before it came to pass. That was wrought in him by faith. Yes, we likewise walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, you plead that you might likewise be able to say, even with Abraham of old, God shall provide himself a lamb. Ah, God has provided himself a lamb. My mind on the past day went to that. Ah, that a portion in Zechariah, is it not? Zechariah, in that 13th chapter. What a mercy if this is made known unto you, poor sinner. That one, yes, your sins testify against you. You have need of a sacrifice, have need of an offering. What do we read concerning this man? So he said, God incarnate, God made man. Yes, the God-man. That one that truly took upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Made under the law, we read, do we not? Awake, O sword. What a mercy it was so. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, awake, O sword, that sword of divine justice, that sword of divine justice. Ah, the infinite justice of God. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That one that laid down his life for his sheep. That one that offered himself once and for all. Yes. And what a mercy when the poor sinner, by faith, is enabled to view in his measure Yes, yeah, some have that greater view granted unto them. We know we cannot have it in its full measure. We wouldn't be able to stand it, such as our frail state. But oh, when there's that measure of that view by faith granted, of one that suffered, and even as a hymn writer put it, his sufferings that were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Ah, and so it was. So he did. And you read of the sufferings of Christ in the Gospels. You read of them as he fell down to the ground, was it not, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in those agonies there. That sin bearer, that spotless lamb upon whom the iniquity of all his people, his church, his chosen, his bride were laid upon him there. The agonies. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But we read this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so it was. He came to do his Father's will. Yes, and that will was it not, to redeem the church, his bride, to save them from the hand of the enemy, and to redeem them, yes, and save them from wrath to come. Ah, oh, and then on the cross, when he has made a curse for his people. Ah, oh, what a mercy that's revealed in measure to a poor sinner. Yes, that which he bore there, the hiding of his Father's face. What darkness it was. Darkness that, yes, even in that way that came over all the earth, I verily believe it was a darkness that had never been known before, and neither will be, even in that natural way. But what must it have been in his soul as he suffered there? Ah, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree, made a curse for his people. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Your hiding place. Yes, the one that truly satisfied the law. Bore that sin of many, and the punishment was due to those sins. And cried out with his dying breath, "It is finished. It is finished. Nothing more to pay. Nothing more to pay." And oh, as I believe it was just a verse this morning that came to my mind. Also in the Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. Ah, these words. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Blessed be God. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Ah, that one that bore the wrath, due unto many, due unto that number that no man can number. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Ah, yes, blessed be God. It was so. Ah, what a mercy then of the poor sinner. The poor sinner knows, even as that we read in the previous chapter in Zechariah. I'll pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced.
And they shall mourn for him as one who mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look upon one whom they pierced, but he bore it. He bore it. And yes, the time is nearly gone. But all that that second hymn we had. What a mercy indeed. The Lord on high proclaims his Godhead from his throne. Mercy and justice are the names by which I will be known. Ye dying souls that sit in darkness and distress, look from the borders of the pit to my recovering grace. Sinners shall hear the sound, the sound. And did we not read, even in that we read this morning, the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. That appointed for a poor sinner, that which they can't do for themselves, it shall be done. That work of grace, yes, it I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. The ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. That work of grace, that one, yes, brought into the liberty of the gospel. Sinners shall hear the sound. Their tongue, a thankful tongue, shall own. Our righteousness and strength are found, not in self, but in this man. A man shall be as an hiding place. In thee, the Lord alone. In thee shall Israel trust and see their guilt forgiven. God will pronounce the sinners just and take the saints to heaven. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a grey rock in a weary land. The wonders of redeeming love, the bounties of his grace, to the most poor and the wretched, the Marys and the Manassas, and all that might be now to each say, and for me, this poor sinner, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. A man. Yes, and we read in that, do we not, that hymn 23. A man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. 'Tis no wild fancy of our brains, no metaphor we speak. The same dear man in heaven now reigns, that suffered for our sake. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price his own heart's blood. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. That human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. Come then. Do we not read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you need a hiding place, it's a resting place as well, is it not? When that one has been pursued and Oh, yes, the old adversaries troubled and tried them and distressed them and perplexed them. They know what it is to be like the hart that panteth after the water brooks, chased by that enemy. Come then, repenting sinner, come. Approach with humble faith. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. His blood can cleanse the blackest soul and wash our guilt away. He will present us sound and whole in that tremendous day. And man, salvation is not to be found in any other. Ah, a precious Christ. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in the weary land. We leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach again this evening at 6:30, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing there will be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening at 8:00, and Mr. Warboys is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and he also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life. Thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. Hymn 1111.
pleased to bless that which is of thee. And what a mercy, as a hymn writer also put it, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to fill his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, may one or another be brought to plead that name which is above every name, the name of Christ and that precious blood. Oh, may they yet prove there is that one that has power to save, power to redeem, power to cleanse, power to raise up out of the dunghill. Ah, yes, as that son or daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So we plead, thou knowest each one's need and each one's case, even this morning hour. For thou knowest the desires of the heart. We plead then, do bless thy word. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.